name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for another Happy Hour with Dr. T special event, which is on Thursdays. On Tuesday mornings, we have Happy Hour with Dr. T. That's 11 a.m. On Thursdays, we do a four-part series, sometimes more than four parts, on with a special guest, a special author on a special topic. This is part four of our series, The King of the Mountain, with Charles Crismeyer. The case that, in case you are just checking in for the first session for the first time, you really need to go back and listen to the previous ones, which are hosted at drtenpenny.com. Also, you can find them at shoptenpenny.net. These are so important. And last week, we were covering so many important things, things that I have never really known about that are really, really important. And today is going to be an even more powerful punch. So Charles Crismeyer is a wide-ranging and diverse background. He's been a public school teacher, a very successful trial lawyer, president of Save America Ministries, and most importantly and most recently, a radio broadcaster. In 1992, he was called to the ministry to plead God's cause and be a voice to the church. His daily radio program, Viewpoint, has been referred to as a prophet for our time. He's the author of many books, but the book that we've been using for this really important series, King of the Mountain, the epic, the eternal epic and end times battle. In part one, we talked about why nations rage from Psalm number two. In part two, we talked about how 4,000 years of biblical history predict events to come. In part three, we talked about the Pope, Catholicism, the impact with between the Pope and Jerusalem, which just blew my mind. And I'm a student of history, and I love history. So learning all of these things was just groundbreaking. So if you missed it, please go back and re-listen to it. If you listen to it, go back and listen to it again, because there's so much important material there. Sadly, today, this is our final part of our four-part series on The King of the Mountain. I hope that by now everyone has a copy of the book. I know I have mine, and I know that the things we've been talking about here have really kind of skimmed across the top and been the cliff notes. So you really, really do want to get a copy of this book. If you go to saveus.org and buy it directly from the website, that you can get it a whole lot better. And there are a whole lot of other books there by our teacher and leader here today, Charles Crismeyer. I'm so excited to listen to this final battle and these things that we're going to be doing to wrap this up. You probably want to recap a little bit from last week, because that was mind-blowing information. So, Charles, welcome back to Happy Hour with Dr. T, our special series, part four. Sadly, this is part four, because this has been so good. Thank you so much.
Well, I feel sad about it, too, because we're having such a great time, great conversation together. And there's so much to talk about, but the depths of it, one will have to go to the book to obtain it right there at our website, saveus.org. Okay, let me, to make a segue from our previous time together and now where we head today. Going back to the Vatican and the epicenter there, you see, remember, the Vatican is not a religious entity. The Vatican is a geopolitical state. It's ruled by the Pope. So the Pope is like a king over a geopolitical state. But he also is deemed to be the vicar of Christ over the Roman Catholic Church. So it's the ultimate merger of church and state. That's why he is called the Pontifex Maximus, which is the very term that was used to describe the ancient Roman emperors who not only ruled Rome as a geopolitical entity, but also ruled it as the spiritual leader, and therefore they were claimed to be deity. Similarly, the Pope also is claimed to be deity. Well, he wouldn't say that outright, so they call it the Vicar of Christ, which basically means the replacement for Christ on earth. That's really what it means. The replacement for Christ on earth, standing in the place of Christ. Well, it's very interesting to me how a conclave of scarlet-clothed bishops of Rome are able to select a genuine Vicar of Christ, Christ in the flesh, on the planet, to rule 1.4 billion Roman Catholics and, by implication, the whole world. But that's exactly what their job is. That's exactly what their job is. So think about that. But let me go back to something that we didn't talk about. A fellow by the name of Malachi or Malachi Martin. Malachi Martin was a Vatican insider. And he wrote a book called The Keys of His Blood. It's a 700 and some page book. You're nodding your head. You must have seen it or read it. Okay, it's fascinating. But here's what he said. We are now standing in the face of the greatest historical confrontation humanity has gone through, a test of 2,000 years of culture and Christian civilization. But he chided his listeners, wide circles of American society and wide circles of the Christian community do not realize this fully. Now, what is it that they don't realize fully? What they don't realize fully is, as he said, this unbelievable battle, basically for King of the Mountain. The consummate contenders, as seen through the eyes of John Paul II, he said, were the Roman Catholic Church under the supreme leader, the Pope, the Soviet Union, having metamorphosized into the Russian Federation, now under its supreme virtual leader, a czar or Caesar. The word czar is the same as Caesar, and that's Vladimir Putin. And then an agglomeration of Western democratic capitalistic nations unified by dissolving nation states, the Western Democratic Alliance, as Malachi Martin noted, these are the great geopolitical contenders. Contenders for what? Well, he didn't say the Temple Mount. What he was saying is for the rulership of the world. The Temple Mount is the place upon which the rulership of the world is dependent. Because God himself said, I have set my king on my holy hill, Psalm 2. The nations may ravage together to try to set their king, put their leader on top, whether it be Russia, whether it be Islam, because that's another contender, Islam. That's the other major contender, or a world, one world government led by the Pontifex Maximus who merges church and state. And that's the goal, to become the spiritual leader of the one Western, one world government that will rule the world. Now, isn't it interesting that the papacy ultimately is going to serve at the will of a secular world government? In other words, is going to ride the secular world government into global prominence with the belief that the Pope will one day actually rule the world from the Temple Mount as the supreme spiritual leader, Christ in the flesh. I want you to think about that. That's the goal. It's the declared goal of the papacy. Not to rule and reign from the Vatican, but to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. But God says, I've already set my king on my holy hill. Why don't you guys get it? Why don't you understand that I'm God, you're not? You can have all the nefarious goals you want to have. You can clothe them in religion. You can clothe them in whatever you want. But ultimately, I'm the one that's ruling, and I've set my king, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Holy One of Israel, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. I have already declared he's sitting on my throne ultimately. So he concludes in Psalm 2, he said, look, you guys, why don't you, see, if you're smart, you're going to kiss the Son. In other words, capital S Son, that's Jesus. You're going to kiss him and humble yourselves before him. Otherwise, you're going to be in deep, deep doo-doo. That's basically what Psalm 2 says. So, this is a serious prophecy that helps us to understand God's viewpoint concerning the Temple Mount, because he's talking about ruling from God's holy hill or his holy mountain. That's how it's referred to in the scripture over and over and over again. My holy mountain, my holy hill. And there it is. So now we move from there and we go to the, how does this one world government or order come about? What are the mechanisms? What is the, is there a key mechanism that would help us to understand how this comes about? In my book, King of the Mountain, I call it the Great Game. Now, it doesn't sound like a game, does it? Because it's dead bang serious. But it's called the Great Game by geopolitical leaders of the world. That's their terminology. It has to do with the role of oil and gas or energy. It is said that he who controls the energy rules the world. It's also said he who rules the Temple Mount rules the world. So then using the theories and so on of geometry that many of us learned years back, or tried to learn anyway, therefore we can conclude that he who controls the energy rules the world, rules the Temple Mount. So now we understand why the battle for control of energy in our world, oil and gas, is so great. The geopoliticians and petroleum engineers call it the Great Game. It's the consummate geopolitical economic game to rule the world. Now, isn't it interesting that the Muslim nations had all the oil and gas? In fact, it was a joke by Golda Meir there in Israel years ago, prime minister. She said, how is it that all these Arab nations got all the blessings of God and we got nothing? Well, we're going to talk about that, Dr. T.
Okay.
Maybe you didn't get anything yet. Yet. But God's not finished. As they say, the fat lady hasn't sung yet. We haven't reached the epitome of God's move in the planet. So now we found that not only did the Arab nations and Muslim nations have control over all of this energy, but Russia had control. In fact, Russia was the number one producer of oil and gas in the world. Did you know that? But then, during the first term of Donald J. Trump, Vladimir Putin had a special report prepared that declared that America now had become the number one producer of energy in the world. In other words, Russia was very frightened that now what are we going to do? America, our arch enemy from our viewpoint to gain dominion over the planet, is now the number one producer of energy. Russia admitted that. So the Great Game was accelerating.
Well, isn't it interesting that this was about 2 years ago now? They found the largest gas wells, gas reserves in the entire world, just off of Israel.
I was just going to mention that. Actually, that was about 10 years ago when that process began and they had to develop it. And so it rendered Israel, shall we say, free from dominion of Egypt and other nations where they had to get their gas and oil from. Now they had enough gas to serve them for at least 70 years and enough to export. But that's not the rest of the story. That's only part of the story. How about oil? How about oil? Well, we're going to have to synthesize this very quickly, I think, because our time is so short. So oil is even the bigger deal right now. The whole Russia versus Ukraine battle brought this oil issue to the fore again. So sanctions were put out there. And the interesting thing is that Russia just decided, okay, we're going to embrace China. Russia and China were not friends. Not friends at all. But you see, the enemy of my enemy is becomes my friend. And so China and Russia have come together like blood brothers. And Russia now has gained a new market. China. China has no energy of its own. Look at the 1.3 billion people there in China. They want to rule the world. They declared that they're going to rule the world. Xi Jinping has already declared that. So we have a whole chapter dealing with the dragon, China. So these things are taking place as we speak. Russia has not lost out, therefore. It just created another market. It also created the BRICS nations as a competitor now, a geopolitical competitor for the Western One World Order. You have to see it that way. That is what's happened. So the great game is continuing. But let me suggest to you that God has not forgotten Israel. The geopetrogeologists know that there's vast oil under Israel. They just don't know how to get it. They've never been understanding how to get it, and it was so expensive to even try that they didn't much try. Then along came John Brown 30 some years ago, a Christian from Texas. And he created what is known as Zion Oil and Gas. The whole purpose, his vision, is that he believes that God has ordained that Israel will ultimately have a massive gusher of oil that will cause the world such geopolitical and economic strife that it will actually create the fulfillment of Ezekiel 38, where the nations that are specified there will confederate together in a sequel confederation to attack Israel to take a spoil. It's called the Gog and Magog War. Now, if there's no spoil to take, there's nothing for them to take. It was originally thought that that spoil might be the minerals of the Dead Sea. Anymore, that's hardly even talked about. What they're really after is the likelihood that oil will be discovered in Israel. Now, let's suppose that that's the case. People say, well, how is that even going to be possible? Have you ever heard of the term fracking?
Sure.
Have you ever heard of an earthquake?
Oh, sure.
I've been through many earthquakes coming from California. All it will take is a God-ordained 6-point fracking on the Richter scale to shake loose and move the understructure of Israel such as to release the oil that is there. As we speak right now, Zion Oil and Gas is drilling in the Jezreel Valley under the hill of Megiddo, the very place where the scripture says the battle of Armageddon will be waged.
Oh, wow.
Did you know that?
No.
I've been following it.
Wow.
I know John Brown. John Brown has been on my radio program. They just sent out a prospectus. Just received it this week. Those things are happening, but the rest of the world doesn't give it any credence because they don't see how it could possibly happen. But God, when God speaks, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think could possibly happen. It doesn't matter whether a temple could be built on the Temple Mount because it would start World War III, supposedly, because the Dome of the Rock is there and Al-Aqsa Mosque is there. So therefore, it can't possibly happen because the Muslims will uprise. Well, what happens though when a charismatic figure comes along called the counterfeit Christ and is seen by the world as the one that can just kind of bring everything together? Peace in the Middle East. Well, guess what? I'm going to speak now on my own. I'm not going to say, thus saith the Lord. Here's what I believe is going to happen. That individual will be seen as so powerful and so effective that they'll be able to bring the Middle East together and the nations of the world in an alleged peace agreement. God calls that agreement in Isaiah 28 a covenant with death. But he says the leaders of Israel will be so desperate that they will enter into such an agreement. What would be the catalyst that would allow and move those leaders to enter into such a covenant? I believe it's the promise of the Temple Mount and a rebuilt temple. That is the ultimate desire of the Jewish people. There is nothing even close to that in their minds, their hearts, and their memories. It's not just the things that the Romans took in 70 AD and buried in the Vatican. Those are symbols of the bigger issue. The bigger issue is the Temple Mount. And that's the reason why the Vatican has been seeking to get dominion over the Temple Mount.
And that's the other thing that make or the thing, not the other thing, the thing that makes the selection of this Pope right now so important.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, I cannot sit here and say that that selection will be the one who will facilitate these things. I cannot say that absolutely. I don't have a thus saith the Lord. I can speculate, but I'm not here to speculate. I'm here to try to communicate facts that help us to understand the greater picture from God's viewpoint that is taking place, has been taking place for 6,000 years. It didn't begin just 50 years ago. It began actually on the Mount of God in the heavens when Satan rebelled against God and said, I will ascend to the heights of the north. I will be like the Most High God. What he was saying is, I'm going to ascend to the Temple Mount. I'm going to rule and reign from the Temple Mount. And now everything is being set for that to happen. So let's talk about that temple. Is this making any sense, by the way?
Percent. It's kind of,
Okay.
I mean, in terms of being able to see what is actually happening. I'm a big follower of history. I have the 10 upstairs in my library. I have the 10 volume set by Will Durant, The History of Civil,
Likewise.
that I think was written in the 90s, maybe. And sadly, I haven't read it, but it's sitting up there that I will read it someday, just because
Oh, listen, you're going to find quotes in my book
from
from
there.
Will Durant, Will and Ariel Durant. And you're also going to find quotes from some other key historians who say that the history of the Roman Catholic Church is to establish a global dominion and order. That's what it's all about. So, they're not necessarily Catholics, they're not necessarily Protestants, they're not necessarily religious people. They're just historians.
Yeah. It's,
So,
the 11th volume of that set that I have read is sort of a summary of everything they wrote. It's called Lessons of History.
Yes.
And I've always been a big believer that you have to know the history. You don't have any idea unless you're just like lollygagging through life and you really don't care about global politics or even the predictions from the Bible, even the
Right.
eschatology of the Bible. If you're just like, lollygagging about life, then I guess you don't care. But if you really want to see what's happening in the world and why, you have to know the history. So this is
You
this.
do. And a lot of people will learn about history, but they don't know how to connect the dots. They don't know how to make sense of it. It has to be interpreted to see the bigger picture. So it's not the reason people are so bored with history is because it's just a bunch of disconnected facts.
Yeah,
It
for sure.
seems that way anyway. But just to make a simple statement, the French Revolution of the late 1790s is like a precursor to the final era of world history that is portrayed by the Bible. First, you had the terror that came through Robespierre and the decapitating of some of the folk, the leaders, and so on. But that was not deemed to be sufficient. So that metastasized into what was called the Great Terror. And that's a precursor, a model of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 24, when he talked about he that endures to the end shall be saved. Not talking about he who lives to the end, he's talking about he who remains faithful to the end. But he said there's going to be such massive deception. And he talks about it three or four times in Matthew 24. I wrote a whole book on it called The Seduction of the Saints. And so then you get to the point where he says, and by the way, the deception, guys, is going to be so great that if it were possible, even the very small remnant elect would be deceived. Because there will be a great terror. Now, he doesn't use the word terror, he used tribulation. But you know what the word tribulation is? In the Greek, it's not tribulation, it's pressure. Phlipsis, that's the word. Phlipsis, which means pressure. You know why this is going to be so important for Christians? Because they're not going to be prepared to endure the pressure.
It's true. I mean, look at the pressure that was put on us through this COVID thing, and
Exactly.
how many
That
people.
was a precursor.
I said that the whole time, Charles. I said, all the talks that I was on, it's the pressure. It's the, to see how many people are willing to line up to get a shot. Well, I guess these many people will be lined up to get their mark of the beast. Are there, to the pressure to eat, to have internet, to have
Yeah.
a job, to have gasoline for your car, this whole global surveillance thing that they've ushered in because of that is really, I'm glad to hear you say that. I didn't know that. That tribulation, it meant pressure.
Oh yeah, that's what it's about. In fact, so great the Lord put it on my heart just a couple of years ago that my people are not ready. They're
Yeah.
just they're not even concerned about getting ready. They think
Yeah.
everything's going to go on business as usual. After all, I'm American,
Everybody's
so
like,
I'm ex
now that Trump's here, yay, go team rah-rah.
exactly the great savior. So I wrote a book. My latest book is called When Persecution Comes. Not if persecution comes, when it comes. Preparing our hearts for perilous times. And it's not a book to frighten people. It's a book to somehow, as a coach, to coach people to come on, folk. Let's get serious about this. The game is on. You're not ready. You're not ready to face the enemy. You're not ready to face what's coming. Let's get ready. How do you do that? That's what the book is about.
Yes,
Yeah.
and that was how we met, was through that book. It was
Exactly.
you on for Happy Hour with Dr. T, so you can go out and find that. Listening to this can go out and find that podcast and know that that was an excellent book. And after we did that interview, that's how we got connected to do the King of the Mountain.
Right. And see, we're just sitting around, we're looking at each other on the screen, but in reality, we're just sitting in a family room having a great conversation.
Absolutely, 100%.
So let's talk about let's talk about this, the impact for us individually.
Well, hold on to that for a second, because
Okay.
good place to take a little quick break,
Okay.
and then we'll go into what you just said. Today, we're talking to pastor attorney Charles Chrismeyer, the author of lots of books, but the one part that we're using here is King of the Mountain. And if you go to saveus.org, saveus.org, you can see all the other books that he has. Plus, you can get the King of the Mountain, which you will want to read, because even in these 4 hours, in this four-part series, we are just skipping across the top of the in-depth of what we really need to know about this book. So we're going to take a really quick break. There's more to come. We'll be right back.
Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch with in our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell, because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers, or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. So Charles, you were just about to say, let's look into and let's do it.
Well, let's do it. What I want to look into is how all of this impinges upon our life. It's not just about, say, persecution. It's not just about a new global order. It's not about the geopolitical consequences of that in the economy or anything like that. Those things are going to happen. They are going to happen. There is a reason why the Bible says in Revelation chapter 13 that there's going to be a ruling from a counterfeit Christ figure and or his false prophet that every man, woman, and child will have to bear the mark of the beast, referred to whatever that happens to be. I believe that that's already in the works. Bill Gates filed for an infamous patent in March of 2020 to merge medical care and financial governance in the world all in one fell swoop to bring the whole world under a global government. Whether that's the ultimate manifestation or not is not the point, that that's in the process. So there are going to be those practical things. But the real issue here, from God's perspective, is who's going to rule and reign over your heart? Because that's the real Temple Mount. You see, the Temple Mount on earth is basically like a symbol on earth of the rulership of your heart. So when people will say, well, doesn't the Bible say the Lord God doesn't live in temples made with hands? It's true. But Jesus said of Herod's temple, it's written, my house should be a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. He owned up to it as his house. He ordained the house that Solomon built. He manifested with the Shekinah glory to bless that house. And he said, there's going to be another one. And the reason there's going to be another one is because the Jewish people have not received Messiah. They have only one hope left. And that is if there's going to be any, shall we say, forgiveness of sin, true forgiveness of sin, under the law, which they're still under. They have to have the temple in order to be able to offer the sacrifices for sin. Christians don't have to do that because Christ died once and for all. Hebrews chapter 9, 10. He is the sacrificial lamb. The Jewish people don't believe that. They're still looking for one like Moses to come. A man, not a deity. And they believe that Jesus is a split God. That he actually is a blasphemer because he claims to be God and God is one. Therefore, that's impossible. So they have blindness to this day. That's where the thing stands with regard to Israel. But the temple has to come. In fact, the Apostle Paul said in Thessalonians, he says, look, this man of lawlessness, the man of sin, the Antichrist, is going to ultimately walk into the temple and declare himself God. Now, he can't walk into a temple that doesn't exist. So we know it's going to exist. How it's going to be built, I've shared some of the thoughts regarding that, more in the book. But now what I want to focus on is, where does this impinge upon your life and mine? You see, what God is really after is, am I going to rule, and do I now rule on the temple mount of your heart? And it has to do with thrones. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. His throne is established in righteousness and holiness. So, am I living in holiness? People sing a song, holiness, holiness is what I long for. Not so much, not really. They want to feel that way, but they don't necessarily want to be that way. Recently, someone had just received Christ and was walking in victory and life was changing. And after about a couple months, the person reneged on everything that the person had made, the commitments, and said, I prayed to God to give me something to end, and he didn't do it. Therefore, I can't trust him, therefore I'm going to turn back. I want to have fun in this life. That's what they said. That's how a lot of people are. If this were not a problem, the number one warning that both Jesus and the apostles brought to the church, not to unbelievers, not to the pagans, but to the church was, be not deceived. You're in great danger. That's why I wrote the book, Seduction of the Saints, to help people understand what that looks like. I don't think most Christians have a clue what that looks like.
I don't either, because I think most Christians hang on, once saved, always saved, and the
exactly.
Snatch me out of here. And I don't have to read this book because I don't really care. Because
exactly.
I have to be here anyways.
Notice the word you just said, I don't really care.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of that eschatology is part of the great deception, that people aren't engaging, they don't know, and they don't know that they need to get prepared.
And they don't know that they don't know. Yeah.
Right.
That's the ultimate. You know what the ultimate deception is? To disagree with God and use the Bible to support it. It's unbelievable what people are willing to do. So anyway, a throne represents rulership. That's why the Vatican wants dominion over the throne. That's the reason. The Temple Mount, 37 acres, the most precious 37 acres on the planet. Why? because the Temple Mount in the center of it represents the premier merger of all power and authority. And if Christ is not going to rule from the Temple Mount, who is? That's where Satan intends to place his surrogate. Who is that? Think about it. Read the book. It will help you. It will help you to understand and discern. We have to have discerning spirits. Now, here's one of the problems that we have. If you listen to the news today, you will find that on almost all the so-called conservative news stations, whether it be radio or television, the majority of the voices are Roman Catholics. By far, 80%. Maybe more, maybe 90%. So what you get is a viewpoint that is overwhelmingly papacy oriented.
Is that by design?
Well, I don't know about that.
Or does it just happen that way?
I'm not going to try to speak to that.
Okay.
All I know is that that's what's happened.
Okay.
And you can tell by what they say or don't say. And so what we have is a pervasive spirit that has moved from a time when JFK could barely get elected because he was going to be the first Roman Catholic president, to a point where it's almost impossible not to be a Catholic to become president. So even Donald Trump is married to a Catholic. The former president was a Catholic. Two former speakers of the House were both Catholics. Their spouses were Catholics. I mean, it's pretty pervasive. Now, I'm not against Catholic people. We're talking about something very different from someone who was raised in the Roman Catholic Church and who loves Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and embraces him, has sought forgiveness of sin, is seeking to walk in holiness and righteousness. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a very different spirit. We're talking about a manipulative power that's seeking to take dominion both physically and spiritually over the world, including your soul.
And all 1.4 billion Catholics that could very well be deceived because of their indoctrination of the Pope being the father. So whoever is elected as the Pope will be the father and could never, ever do anything deceiving or deceptive.
And now you understand why Pope Francis did everything he could to bring the 1.3 billion Chinese under the papacy.
Oh, wow.
He actually gave Xi Jinping the power to appoint and decide who would be the bishops of the Catholic Church in China.
Wow.
So basically, he was saying, look, you've got your three patriotic church appointed Protestant churches in China. So we're going to give you the privilege of doing the same thing with the Catholic Church. I'm telling you, it's about bringing all the peoples of the planet to some degree under the mothering wings of the papacy. And that's why Revelation 17 calls her the great harlot, the mother of harlots.
Wow.
Revelation 17. Okay, so again, how does this impinge upon you and me? Whether Catholic or Protestant, that's not the issue. It's not Catholic or Protestant. That's not what we've been talking about. The issue is, does Christ, Yeshua, the Holy One of Israel, the Messiah, actually in reality rule on the throne of my heart? And how would anybody know it? Consider this. Within the broader church today, The word obey is the most hated word in the church in America. If that be true, Christ cannot be Lord and he cannot be king. Because a king is only a king to the extent that his subjects obey him. If his subjects don't obey him and despise that, they're rebels. Is God going to allow rebels into his kingdom? I don't think so. And that's why the Bible makes it very clear there's going to be a small remnant. Jesus said, not everybody that claims, you know, that I'm Lord and Master and so on is going to inherit the kingdom of God. Only those who do the will of my Father, like I did. What did I come to do? I came to do the will of my Father, not to disagree, not to quibble with what I don't like, but to do exactly what he asked me to do. Now, I'm leaving to the Father. Now, you do exactly the same thing that I was asked to do. That's what Jesus said. So if the word obey has fallen on such hard times in the church, Christ cannot be ruling on the throne of our lives. We are prepared to receive an antichrist. He'll tell us what we want to hear.
Yeah.
He'll make things nice for at least 3 years until all hell breaks loose. And he reveals what it really is like not to submit to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And guess who's going to be the ultimate judge? Jesus. When he was on earth, he didn't come as a judge. He came to save people from their sins. But when he returns, he's coming to be the judge. Why is he qualified to be the judge? Because he was the only obedient human or Jew ever to grace this planet. Therefore, he is able to judge the world in righteousness from his throne on the Temple Mount. King of the mountain.
Wow. What a great place to wrap up this whole series with, Charles. And I really mean it when I tell everybody that's listening this today and in the future that you really do need to get this book. I mean, when I got this book, I'd only had it for like 24 hours and I'd already read and started putting tabs and things next to it because it is so good. And so are Charles' other books. You know, if you go to saveus.org, you can see the big collection of all the different things that he's written. And it's very timely and very important to do that. So I can't say enough of how much I've enjoyed this series of going through.
Likewise.
It's just been so educational, so informational, so full of love and inspiration. It's just been great. And so as
thank you.
Close out the last couple of minutes here on part four of our series on the King of the Mountain. Would you be so kind as to close us out with a word of prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Lord, in our hearts, we want you to be king. We want you to rule and reign. We do. But we're fighting this battle in our flesh. Our flesh continually wants to rise up and rule over our spirit. And we ask, Lord, that in your patience and by your Holy Spirit, that you will strengthen us in this difficult hour of human history. As we see the convergence of history and prophecy coming before us, we want to prepare the way of the Lord in our own lives. We want to make straight paths for our feet, because the king can only come in if we honor him with a straight path in our life. So may that be the case. May we humbly submit to you, confess where we've gone astray, repent, and then seek you with a whole heart. You said that if we would do that, you would be found of us. And so we trust you. Be king of our lives, and we crown you now. Yours shall the glory be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. How wonderful. How wonderful. This has just been delightful. I'm so, when I first asked Michelle to get hold of you to do this four-part series, I didn't know how busy you are, if you would even be able or willing to do this. And I'm so grateful that you have, because this has just been spectacular.
Well, Dr. T, let me just say this in closing. You know, I have done hundreds and hundreds of interviews over the past 20 some years. This is one of the most delightful I've ever had. Thank I
you.
have enjoyed this so thoroughly. And to be able to have four sessions, to be able to unfold something and not do soundbite broadcasting, it's just been precious.
Well, thank you so much. And thank you to all of our listeners and everybody who's joined us here today and in the future. It's been such an honor to have you. With special thanks to all of our premium, to all of our Tenpenny Prime members and to everyone else who supports us. So with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12, 12, rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble because trouble will come. And be persistent in prayer because God says to pray without ceasing. So until the next time, remember to lean into God, trust Him for everything. He will never let you down. Thanks to everyone for being here. Have a great weekend, everybody. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body's vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.